Welcome to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is part of our message series, Unstoppable. What would happen if, collectively, we truly embraced our mission to lead people to realize and reach their full potential in Jesus Christ? Just like the church we read about in the book of Acts, we would become an unstoppable force. Join us as we take a look at where we've been, where we are now, and what we believe God has in store for us, and how you can be a part of it.
Good morning, New Point. Happy New Year to each and every one of you. We're glad that you're here. We're doing something different this morning. You get me first. How's that? All right? And we're so glad that you're here. We're glad that you're choosing to start off a brand new year, a brand new decade with us. If this happens to be your first time with us, I want you to know that we're one church in six locations. We've got one in Canton, hello Canton, Worcester, Millersburg, Coshocton, Cambridge, Dover, and all of you who are watching on online. We're so, so glad that you're here. If this happens to be your first time as well, maybe you're investigating the claims of Christ. We're glad that you're here because what you're going to learn, what you're going to learn is this. You're going to learn our heartbeat. You're going to learn what motivates us. You're going to learn why we do what we do. Because 2,000 years ago, God visited earth through the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus came to die for your sins and to die for my sins. And then he gathered around him 12 men, and he birthed in them his purposes and his desire. And they gave birth to what you and I know is the church. Now, today you maybe have come here and you thought, you know what, I'm going to go to church. I want to help you with that. Church is not a place. Church is a group of people. Church is a group of people who have trusted Jesus Christ as the forgiver of their sins and the leader of their life. You see, Jesus said it like this 2,000 years ago, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Now, we get confused because we think that church is a building. We think that church is made of brick and mortar, but it's not. The word church here is ecclesia, which means called out ones. Jesus was calling people out so that they could follow him, so that they could be his hands, his feet, his voice, so that they could carry on his purpose. And that's what the church is. So it's not a place, it's a group of people. And in giving birth to the church is now the hope of the world, living and teaching the truth of Jesus Christ. There's nothing more greater that you can invest in. There's nothing greater that you can give your life to than the local church. And so it's unstoppable because it was founded and it's fueled by Jesus Christ himself. And yet you and I, from time to time, have to be reminded of what we're really about because it's so easy for you and it's so easy for me to be able to think that church is about brick and mortar, but it's not. If you're a Christ follower, you're the church. You're the hope of the world. You have life giving words, and it's found in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I know about us. Vision leaks. Vision leaks because life gets in the way. You do life, I do life. We're all going to buy groceries this coming year. We're all going to eat. We're all going to go to work. We're all going to do the mundane things of life. But there's something much greater and more significant than that. And that's you, that's me, being the church, being the hope of the world. And yet, that vision gets blurred. And Solomon tells it like this. Solomon says, where there is no vision, people perish. And basically what he is saying is this: where there is no vision, where there's no clarity, what happens is people run in all kinds of different directions. They get confused. And in that, they perish. They don't live significant lives. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to bring us back, and I want to clear for you and me the purpose of the church. Now, for us here at New Point, our vision is to create churches that unchurched people love to attend. Did you know that? We want to create churches that unchurched people love to attend. You say, why is that, Dwight? Because when Jesus was on planet Earth, he was contagious. Everybody loved to be around Jesus. Young, old, male, female, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, everybody loved to be around Jesus. You know why? Because he gave life. He gave hope. He brought healing into their lives. And so if you're a Christ follower, you ready for this? People should love to be around you. They should look forward to meeting to you. And if they're not, probably is, you're religious. You see, the religious people didn't like to be around Jesus. They didn't feel comfortable around him. They weren't cut from the same piece of cloth as Jesus was. And yet Jesus was contagious because he was life-giving. And so what we want to do is we want to have campuses all throughout Eastern Ohio and literally help other churches around the world to be able to create environments of where people can come and know that God is not mad at them, but that God loves them. That God is not a killjoy, but God has life and life to the fullest for them. And so our vision here is to create campuses, to create churches that unchurched people love to attend. And here's what I can promise you. In 2020, we're going to do our very, very best every time we meet on a weekend to be able to have something that's engaging, something that will be helpful, something that will help your family and friends who don't know Christ to take their next step in their journey towards Christ. And so our mission is this. Our mission is to lead people to realize and reach their full potential in Jesus Christ. You see, we're not content with somebody just saying a prayer and inviting Jesus into their heart and life. We believe that that's the most frustrating place to live. Some of you are there. Some of you are there today. You know that if you would die, you'd go to heaven. But you know what? You're not living a fulfilling, fun, fruitful life. You're not reaching your full potential. And I'm going to do everything in my power to be able to move you to the point of where you realize and you reach your full potential in Jesus Christ. Because that's the only way to live. That's the only way to really enjoy God. And so our mission is to lead people to realize and reach their full potential in Jesus Christ. And we do that in this way, by creating environments that equip and encourage people to connect with God, connect with others, and to connect others to God. That's what we want. We want you to connect with God. We want you to connect with other people, because doing life alone is dangerous. And then we want to help you connect your family and friends to God. That's what the church is all about. And when you're connecting with God and you're connecting with other people and you're helping other people connect with God, let me tell you what it keeps you from. Ready for this? It keeps you from being religious. See, there's no way that you can pursue these three relationships with God and with others and with those who don't know Christ yet and stay religious. You can come to a building week after week and be religious, and it's not attractive. It's not contagious. Matter of fact, it's repulsive. And that's not who Jesus was. And that's not who he calls you and I to do and be. And so we have this unstoppable force. It's called the church. It's called the church. And the world at its worst needs a church at its best. Would you agree with me? Would you say that America is struggling today? You know why? Because the church isn't being the church. See, what's happening in America is a reflection of what's happening in the church's life. And so what happens is we have to come back and we have to remind ourselves, what are we really about? Because the answer's not in the White House. The answer is in your life and in my life, in your house and in my house. And when that happens, then you and I become the hope of the world. You and I become the answer to the problem that your family and friends, that your coworkers are asking. So what is this fuel that allows this movement to become unstoppable? Well, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to a church much like New Point. It's called Thessalonica. And Thessalonica was a model church. Matter of fact, Paul says, you are a model to everyone. You are a model to everyone. Basically, what he was saying is, I want everybody to be like you. I'm recognizing that. And the reason why was because they were seeing people turn from idols to God. They were seeing people healed and be instilled with hope, even in the midst of the challenges that they had. And so he writes this letter to them, and he commends them. And he says, this is the fuel of a movement. And we don't want to be a monument. We don't want to be a place that just grows old. We want to be a movement. And for that to happen, we have to have fuel that will cause you and me and us, all in Eastern Ohio, to stay a movement. And so here's what Paul has to say. To the people of the church in Thessalonica who belong to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be yours. We always thank God for you all and always mention you in our prayers. Isn't that a great compliment? You know, my prayer for 2020 is when you think of me, you'll thank God for me. Y'all right? Wouldn't that be great? When people think of you, they wouldn't go south. They wouldn't cringe their nose. Oh, you had to bring him up. Oh, you had to mention her name. Wouldn't it be great if people, when they mentioned your name, something would be like, God, I thank you for them. Oh my, I thank you for them. They brought so much hope to my life. They've helped me so much. Wouldn't that be great if people would say that of New Point? Every time that New Point was mentioned, whether they are Christ followers or not, they would just say, oh, I thank God for New Point. I thank God that they're in our community. Where would our community be without the influence of New Point? And that's what Paul was saying. He goes on to say this. He says, for we remember before our God and our Father how you put your faith into practice. Why were they so thankful for the church in Thessalonica? Because they put their faith into practice. It wasn't a dead faith. It was a vibrant faith. And basically what Paul was saying is this. The fuel of a movement is to live by faith. It's to live by faith. So here's my question. In 2019, did you live by faith? Because if you did, I want to congratulate you. If you didn't, I want to challenge you that in 2020, you will be a man or a woman who will live by faith. By faith. And you say, well, what is faith? Here's our definition of faith. Faith is believing that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he has promised to do. That's faith. And it fuels. It fuels a movement. You know what demobilizes a movement? Fear. Fear. And the enemy will want you to live by fear, not by faith. The enemy will want New Point to live by fear and not by faith. But we want to be men and women. We want to be a group of people who say, no, God, you know what? I'm going to believe that you are who you say you are and that you will do what you have promised to do. The Hebrew writer writes it like this. He says, those who are right with me, referring to God, my righteous ones, will live by faith. How do you know that you're right with God? You know that you're right with God by living by faith. But if they turn back with what? Fear and shrink back. Instead of embracing the challenges of life, instead of embracing the challenges of our world, my soul will not be pleased with them. Wow. And so the thing that pleases God in your life and in my life is that we trust him. That we are men and women who live by faith. That we don't look at the circumstances of life and judge who God is. We look at his character and judge who God is. So what does it mean to live by faith? It means to obey God. It means that you and I today, the first Sunday of a brand new year, of a brand new decade, you know what we tell God? You ready for this? Listen to me. Here's what we say. Hey, God, the answer is yes. What's the question? The answer is yes. What do you want me to do? The answer is yes. That's what it means to live by faith. Faith is the courage to believe and obey God despite the risk, despite not having all the facts, despite not knowing everything. But what has happened today, and this is why you and I have to be so aware of this, faith has been corrupted by our convenience. You see, we live in a society that have a convenience mentality. If it's hard, if it's difficult, we shrink back. If we think that it asks a little bit too much of us, we shrink back. And if it's not convenient, if it doesn't fit in our schedule, if it doesn't fit according to our plans, we shrink back. And somehow we've bought this gospel that we think that God's more interested in our comfort and our prosperity than fulfilling his purpose. Not so with the church in Thessalonica. They were a group of people who lived by faith, not by convenience. They were a group of people who were willing to take risk, even though it moved them out of their comfort zone. And so when a church lives by faith, guess what we do? We prove to a world that God can be trusted. We prove to our family and friends that God is worthy of our total allegiance and trust. You see, Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The only way that I can please God, the only way that you can please God is to be able to trust him. And so the fuel of a movement is to live by faith. You know what I wish I could give you? I wish I could give you my faith. I tell my kids that all the time. Oh, I wish I could give you my faith. But to have my faith, you got to have my story. Y'all okay? God wants to give you a story. God wants to give you a story that he is who he says he is and that he will do what he has promised to do. And you know what will happen? You will come alive. You will come alive. You won't think I'm strange. Oh, isn't Pastor Dwight nice? He's so energetic and compelling. But I'm a piece of dead wood. But he sure is entertaining, isn't he? Y'all okay? Happy New Year. And so the fuel of a movement is to live by faith. Live by faith. There's many things that happened in 2019 I still don't understand. I still don't have answers to. But I know this one thing, God is good and God is faithful. And I'm here today in spite of all that happened in 2019. And whatever happens in 2020, you know what? I can handle it. I've already made that decision because I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to believe that he is who he says he is and that he will do what he has promised to do. And so it's the fuel of a movement. Paul goes on to say this, for we remember before our God and Father how you put your faith into practice. Check this out, okay? And how your love made you work so hard. See, love's not always easy. See, we're messed up. We think that love is a feeling. Love is not a feeling. Love is a decision. Love is a choice. When people say, well, we just fell out of love, let me tell you what you're saying. I just fell out of working hard on this relationship. I don't want to work hard. Because love is hard work. It's hard work. All of us here, okay? All of us here are sometimes hard to love. Would you agree with me? Don't nod that head too quick, okay? But isn't that the truth? Don't look to the right or to the left. But the fact of the matter is some of us are just hard to love. I can be hard to love. And it takes work sometimes for Patty to love me or my kids to love me. And it takes work for you and I to love other people because they're not like us. They're broken. They're shattered. And in that way, they're like us. And he's commending them. I thank you. I thank you for how your love has made you work so, so hard. And so the fuel of a movement is to live by faith, but not only to live by faith, but to be known by our love. I do not want New Point to be known for being a big church. Who cares? Who cares? I don't want us to be known for being a multi-site church. You know what I want us to be known for? A church that loves. Oh, those people love you. They love you. They meet you right where they are. They're not afraid if things get messy. They're not afraid of being misunderstood. They're not afraid of doing the hard thing because they're known for their love. See, Jesus said it like this, and we've looked at this a lot last year. A new command I give to you, that you love one another. Now, if he would stop there, we'd be okay, but he doesn't. He says, just as I have loved you, not as your daddy loved you. Your daddy probably didn't love you as well as he could have. Not as well as your mother loved you. She probably didn't love you as well as she could have. Not as well as your pastors love you, because they probably don't love you as well as they could. He's not saying that you are to love other people the way in which you have been loved by other people. He is saying that you and I are to love one another just as Christ Jesus has loved you and me. And you know how he loves me? Unconditionally. No labels. No preconditions. He just loves me. And the church in Thessalonica, they were known for that. They did the hard work. They didn't just surround themselves with people who are like them. They surrounded themselves with people who, you know what? It took effort. It took intentionality to be able to love. And they did that hard work. And you know what they did? They changed their city. They changed their world. See, Jesus went on to say this. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. By this, all people will know that you're my church. Because the reason why Jesus was contagious was because he loved everybody. He loved everybody. And not a warm, gushy feeling. He loved them enough to help them. He loved them enough to tell them the truth. He loved them enough to roll up his sleeves and to be able to contribute to them. And so he says, by this, all people will know that you are my church, that you're my called out ones, that you're my real, legitimate followers, if you have love for one another. Now, here's what I want us to understand. We have been inundated with love imitations, right? Would you agree with me? And we've become blinded to what love really is. And we think that, you know, I used to do some premarital counseling. And one of the questions I'd always ask the couple was, why do you want to get married? Because we love each other. And I said, that's not good enough. Because they weren't talking about biblical love. They were talking about romantic love. I think she's cute. I think he's kind. But the fact of the matter is this. In the end, love manifests itself through sacrifice. Through sacrifice. Listen, if you're not sacrificing for your wife, can I help you, fella? You don't love her. You don't love her. Ladies, let me tell you, if you're not sacrificing for your husband, you don't love him. Hey, kids, if you don't sacrifice for your mom and dad, you don't love them. Hey, mom and dad, if you're not sacrificing for your kids, you don't love them. You just have this warm imitation of love. Because, boil it all down, love is sacrifice. That's why God so loved the world. He sacrificed. You see, love produces servanthood. It caused something in you and me to want to serve other people, to want to serve our community, to want to serve our world. And servanthood sees sacrifice as a privilege, as a privilege. Can I tell you something if you don't tell anybody? Huh? I ran out of gas yesterday. Oh, my. You know, I thought I'm going to hit the store and then I'll hit the gas station. I hit the store, and between the store and the gas station, I ran out of gas. And so I text our son, Ben. And I said, Benny, I said, Dad needs help. And I said, I'm out of gas. And I said, would you come and bring me some gas? And he said, sure. Not complaining, didn't say, you knucklehead. He didn't say, when are you gonna learn, Dad? He didn't say any of that. He didn't say. And Ben and I always have this thing going on between us. And I'll tell him I love him. And then he'll say, well, I love you. And I say, but I love you more. And so yesterday, I texted him and I said, thanks for your help. And he says, I love you, and I love you more than you love me. That's what love is. Love is willing to be inconvenienced. Love is willing to go the second mile. It's willing to sacrificially serve one another. And that's the church at Thessalonica. Let's go on. Here's what he says. He says, for we remember before our God and Father how you put your faith into practice, how your love made you work so hard, and check this out, and how your hope in our Lord Jesus Christ is firm. Here's the third thing that fuels a movement. It's faith, it's love, and it's the voice of hope. It's the voice of hope. That we become people of hope. Do you know that depression and suicide is just climbing? I just read an article about it this past week, that suicide continues to climb the ladder of taking people's life. Why? Because people don't have hope. And the local church is the hope of the world. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. We should be the most positive, optimistic people on planet Earth. You should not, and I should not wring my hands and say, oh, my lands, what are we going to do? What in the world is going on? Let me tell you, I'm living by faith. I believe that God is who he says he is and that he'll do what he has promised to do. And we should be a voice of hope, not one that's negative or pessimistic, of hope. Paul writes it like this. He says, may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. How do you have peace and joy? You live by faith. Why? Because you know this hope. And hope is not something that you wish for. Hope is a confidence that you know it will come about. He says, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, listen. We're the voice of hope. No matter who you come in contact with in 2020, there's hope for them. Because when anybody encounters Jesus Christ, everything changes. Everything changes. That your past can be forgiven. Your present can be restored. Your future is bright. And that God can accomplish anything and everything he wants through you and me. You see, Jesus is a message of hope to a broken world. And we're called to be that. And we're called to give people hope who have known nothing but condemnation and shame. And to be able to say, you can have hope in Christ. You can be forgiven of your sin. Guilt and shame can be removed from your life. And faith and hope and love are what ignited the early church. And they promise to ignite New Point. If you and I are committed to live by faith, to be known by love, and to be a voice of hope, you see, here's what I believe. The church is not where we meet our needs. If you've been here very long, my goal is not to meet your need. If you want your needs met, go to another church. Hello. You ever hear somebody, well, we're looking for a church that can meet our needs. Do you know Christ? If you know Christ, that should not be your aim. That should not be your goal. You're the answer to other people's needs. You all right? Huh? You all right? The church is not here to meet our needs. New Point is here to help you take your next step. Your next step. You see, if my goal was to meet my kids' needs all the time, they would have never left home. There'd be irresponsible adults sucking the life out of me. That's not my goal. My goal was to help them to take their next step. That's why moms, that's why when you went to the doctor, they gave you a little book. And you know what? In that little book, when you would go back for your appointments, they would say, is Johnny making progress? Is he setting up? Is he doing this? If he's doing that? And if he's not, alarms would go off in your mind. Because you would say, something is drastically wrong. Something is drastically wrong. Because your goal was not just to meet their needs. Your goal was to help them to take their next step so that they could become functioning adults in a society where they could contribute. That's the goal of New Point, to lead you to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ so that you can go out to your broken family and friends and be able to introduce them and be able to love them and to be able to be that voice of hope. And so in light of all of that, there's three things that we want to do in 2020. I want to give them to you quickly. Here's the first one. We want to reach an ever-increasing percentage of Eastern Ohio and beyond with the gospel. We want to do that. You know why? Because lost people matter to God. And if lost people matter to God, they better matter to us. You know what else? Everybody's going to spend forever somewhere. Think of that. Everybody's going to spend forever somewhere. And so we want to continue to reach Eastern Ohio and beyond with the gospel. The gospel is good news. You can have a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. Your sins can be forgiven. Luke writes this in the book of Acts. He says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. So you and I are called to build bridges with people that are strong enough to bear the weight of truth. And here's my commitment, okay? My commitment is to do the best I can every weekend that I'm teaching or whoever's teaching from the platform to be able to share in a practical, clear way what it means to know Christ. And our team, week in and week out, are committed to doing our very best to create an environment, whether it's in children, whether it's in students, whether it's right here, to be able to give your family and friends a place of where they can find hope and healing. Here's the second goal that we want to go after. We want to move every Christ follower towards spiritual maturity. We want to move every Christ follower towards spiritual maturity. I don't want you to be a pew potato. I'm going to make it very uncomfortable for you to be a spiritual porker. okay? We don't want spiritual porkers who just come and take notes and feed themselves and don't do anything. We don't want that. I want you to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ, because when you realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ, guess what? You know what that is? That's attractive. Your kids will want that. Your coworkers will want that. Everybody that you come in contact will want what you have. And so Paul says it like this: we will proclaim him, talking about Christ, warning and instructing everyone in all wisdom, that is, with comprehensive insight into the word of God and the purposes of God, so that we may present every person complete in Christ. Listen, in Christ you are enough. Do you know that? In Christ you are enough. You are enough to deal and face anything in 2020. In Christ. Mature, fully trained, perfect in him, and anointed. So we're committed. We're committed, okay, to move all of the consumers that attend New Point into being contributors. That we're going to move you out of isolation into community. You see, you're not just joining a community of people who are following Christ. You're joining the cause of Christ. And we want to be able to move everyone. And so for some of you, I want you to know I love you. But it's time you take some responsibility and grow up in your faith. Your kids are dependent upon it. Listen to me. Do you know that 8 out of 10 kids, when they leave home, do not return to the church? Who's the church? You and me. And if they don't see a clear picture of Jesus in you and me, they won't want anything. They're going to say, why would I want to go to a building? I don't want it. And so it's not only for you, but it's for those around you that you grow up and you mature in Christ. It's absolutely important. And then here's our third goal. Our third goal is we want to invest a greater percentage of our lives, knowledge, and resources into our world. Into our world. You say, why? Because God so loved the world. God always thinks globally. God always acts globally. God always loves globally. God always redeems globally. His heart breaks for a hurting world, not just in Eastern Ohio, not just for Ohio, not just for an America, but literally for the world. And so our three goals, okay, as we live by faith, as we're known by our love, and as we are the voice of hope, is to reach our family and friends for Christ, to be able to love people with the love of Christ, and to be able to be a hope. Now, here's what you need to understand, okay? We don't have a snowflake's chance in you know where to pull this off unless you and I are fully engaged. We just don't. We have a great sense of humility and inadequacy. And I know there's no way we can do this, but I don't think there's more worthy of a cause than maybe your own family than for you to invest in this. And you're going to do the mundane stuff of life. You're going to go to the grocery store. You're going to eat. You might play a little golf. You might shop a little bit. You might do that. But you long for something much, much greater than that. You long for an adventure. You long for an adventure. For some of us, 2019 was way too boring. Way too boring. And God wants to ignite something in you. And so here's my call to each and every one of us. I want to make a difference with people who want to make a difference, doing something that makes a difference. And so I'm going to ask you to vote today, all right? I'm going to ask you to vote with your mind, with your mind. I'm going to ask you to think eternally, not just temporary. I'm going to ask you to think differently and to realize that everybody spends forever somewhere. I'm going to ask you to vote with your heart. I'm going to ask you to really connect with God, and not only with God, but with a handful of other people so that you can do life and do life well. I'm going to ask you to vote with your hands. I'm going to ask you to get involved. I'm going to ask you to serve. I don't know what that is. I'm not God, but I know he wants you to serve. He wants you to vote with your hands. I'm going to ask you to vote with your mouth. I'm going to ask you to pray. We're entering into 21 days of prayer. And I would even encourage you to consider fasting, but to pray to God and say, God, you know what? I need you to do something in my heart and life so that you can do something through me for the hearts and the lives of the people around me. And then I'm going to ask you to vote with your time, because it's going to take some time. If you're going to serve, if you're going to be involved, it's going to take some time. And then finally, I'm going to ask you to vote with your money. I'm going to ask you to vote with your money. I'm going to ask you to become a consistent giver. Some of you, I'm going to ask you to tithe. You say, what's tithe? It's giving 10% to God. It's living by faith. I'm going to ask you to contribute and to be able to make a difference. And so I'm going to ask you to vote with your mind, your heart, your hands, your mouth, your time, and your money. And listen to me. Listen to me. When you and I are willing to do that, we will become the church that God had in mind. You'll become the man, you'll become the woman, I'll become the man that God had in mind. Jesus said it like this, I will build my church, ecclesia, called out ones, and they will bring hope and healing to a broken world. Now you're going to be invited here in a few moments to sing and to affirm everything that I just talked about. But I need your vote. Our world needs your vote. The world at its worst needs a church at its best. And we need everybody. And I'm asking you to do this. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you for churches like Thessalonica who lived by faith, who were known by their love, and who was a voice of hope in a world filled with despair. And God, I pray that for myself, and I pray that for all of New Point, that we would be that church, that we would be that man, that we would be that woman, that we would be that person, and that we would be the light that you have called us to be. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, download our app, subscribe to our weekly podcasts through the App Store or Google Play, or catch us on Roku or Apple TV. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.